Turn our Bibles to Ephesians 4, please. And we were reminded last week why God gave gifts unto men, why He gave the service unto the church there in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In verse 13, it goes on to say, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So I'm going to take my title from verse 15, grow up. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening to grow us, to guide us, to convict us, just to meet needs. And we pray, Lord, that we will leave changed by your word and knowing that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. So meet with us now. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So Paul here, after explaining the purpose of the gifts, the purpose of the service that he gives to the local church, he goes on to explain that God's will is that every believer in Jesus Christ grow up in their faith. There's too many immature Christians out there, and it should not be so. You know, when we witness to folks, it's amazing how many times you run across people, they go to these wishy-washy churches, they've been supposedly saved for years and years, but they do not know why they believe what they believe, they don't know the Bible, they can't defend their faith, they're babies in how they handle trials, because they've never grown up. God's will is that we grow up. And Paul here in this passage shows some of the ways in which He wants us to grow up, but also some of the evidences. It kind of ties in well with what we talked about Sunday morning, where the Bible showed that the church there at Thessalonica, their faith grew. And what was the evidence of that? That they were exhibiting the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and that they were responding properly to trials. But Paul gives us more in this passage. If we're growing up, first of all, verse 13, there will be unity. Notice he says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding out there, and we're going to talk more about this later on in the book, about the local body versus the one body of Christ, which there are both, according to Scripture. But when God uses phrases like this, for us, He's talking about within the local church. It's not God's will that we become ecumenical and that we be unified with every church in the world. That's what some people think is God's will, but it's impossible, first of all, because we're all sinners. But second of all, it comes down to doctrine. It comes down to the Word of God. But within a local church, a mature Christian, a Christian who is growing up strives for the unity in that local church. Keep your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is a difficult thing to strive for. Again, take five people, put them in a room together, and try to get them all to agree on something. It's hard to do. Because we're selfish, we're sinners, we're weak, and part of our maturity is learning to be one in the faith as a local church. Notice 1 Corinthians 1:10. That was one of the accusations that Paul had against the Corinthians, was their division. Notice he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. They had a lot of problems with division, division over doctrine, division over personalities, division over church discipline, in a lot of areas they had issues. Paul's writing to them and saying, this is what I want for you as a church, no divisions. I want you to be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so one of the things you will find as a Christian matures is more unity in the local body. The second thing you'll find, go back to our passage in Ephesians 4, that will be growth in knowledge. You can use the word doctrine if you want. But notice he says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Well, God's will is that we become that perfect man, that we become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. One of the ways that happens is as we grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. Notice in verse 14, he uses the word doctrine. That we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. How many Christians are like that? Every new thing that comes along, they have to grab it and run with it. And then a year later, it's not popular anymore. Every wind of doctrine that just comes blowing through. No, God wants us to be grounded in our understanding of His Word. He wants us to be grounded in our doctrine. He wants us to be grounded in our knowledge of the Son of God. Well, that only comes from one place, and that's the Word of God. And so if we're going to mature in our faith, there's only going to be not only going to be unity, but there's going to be maturity in doctrine or in the knowledge of the Son of God. Keep your place here. Look at Hebrews 5, verse 13. We looked at this at our men's fellowship recently as we were talking about the authority of God's Word and its power in our lives. But God's will is that we mature in doctrine, in our knowledge of His Word. Notice Hebrews 5:13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Full age. That's God's will. That we become a full age in our understanding and notice in our use of the Word of God. And that will be evidenced because we will gain biblical discernment. Discern both good and evil. So if we're going to grow up in our faith, there's going to be unity and there's going to be growth in our knowledge of God's Word. Thirdly, back in our passage, verse 13 of Ephesians 4, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature. What God is saying there is that if we're going to mature in our faith, we're going to be more like Jesus. The fullness of Christ. The measure of the stature. There's only one measuring stick for a Christian. Now, churches try to establish other measuring sticks, do's and don'ts. There's only one, and that's Jesus. God wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to grow under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. He wants us to be more and more like Jesus. And that's why He uses trials and the Word and others and life in our lives to, as he says in Romans 8:29, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where John explains that if we are going to be abiding in Christ, then we are going to be like Christ. Notice 1 John 2, 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So if we're growing up in our faith, there's going to be unity, there's going to be growth in our knowledge of God's Word, our doctrine, and there's going to be growth because we're going to be more like Jesus. We're going to come closer and closer. We'll never get all the way there until we get our new bodies. But God wants us to be more like Jesus. He wants us to walk and talk like Jesus. And that is one of the areas He wants us to mature. Now the fourth one, back in our passage, Ephesians 4, verse 15. This one has to be in there. And that is our tongue. Notice He says, speaking the truth. What gets us in trouble more than our tongue? Nothing. That's why James said it set on the fire of hell, didn't he? Talking about our tongues. If we're going to mature, then our speech is going to mature. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:29, look down there at the end of the chapter, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's a tough one for all of us. But if we're going to grow up, we're going to grow up in our speech, in the things that we say, the things that we allow to come out of our mouths. James says in James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is vain. That's what James says. That you can claim to be spiritual, you can claim to love the Lord, but if your tongue's not under control, it's in vain. So if we're going to be mature, we're going to be unified as a local church, we're going to be mature in our knowledge of His Word, we are going to be more like Jesus, measure up to the stature, the fullness of Christ, and our tongue is going to be under control. And then verse 15, number 5, speaking the truth in love may grow up. We talked about this a bit on Sunday morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But if we're maturing, then our love is maturing. And again, we talked about this Sunday morning, but God said in 1 John 4:11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We're to love each other like Jesus loves us. There's that measuring stick again. I don't know what it is with this thing. Maybe it's my phone. I don't know. We're going to mature in our love. Notice on down in chapter 4, verse 32, be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we're growing up, we're going to grow up in our love for one another. Remember, Jesus said, John 13:31, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. So our love is going to be more like Christ's love for us if we're mature. If we're growing up in our faith. And then he finishes in verse 16 of our passage. If we're growing up, then our focus is going to be edification of others. Notice he says in verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So he's talking there about how the body, remember in 1 Corinthians how it talks about we're all different parts, we all have different roles, but we work together to make it work. Making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We talked about this, I think, last week. How the body edifies itself. It's not the world doesn't edify the body. The world hates the body. The devil hates the body. So the body edifies itself because we edify one another. And if we're growing up in our faith, then that's going to be one of our focuses, is edifying each other. Notice 1 Corinthians 14, if you would. Verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26.
where God makes an interesting command.
He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Look at this last part. Let all things be done unto edifying. Remember, one of the problems with the Corinthian church was they were boasting about false gifts. Tongues, prophecies, maybe miracles. He was talking here about singing, about doctrines, about a tongue, about a revelation, about an interpretation. He's saying all of that's fine, but if it's not for the purpose of edification, you shouldn't be doing it. Because they were doing it for self-glorification, to show off. If we're maturing, if we're growing up in our faith, then our focus is edification of others, not glorification of self. That's one of the evidences of our maturity, is our focus is more on helping others to grow and be more like Jesus instead of promoting ourselves. Notice Ephesians 4 again, where we are, down in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Look to this one earlier. But that which is good to the use of edifying. We're talking here about edification. So Paul here gives us at least six evidences that tie in well with what we talk about Sunday morning. Evidences of growing up. Number one, unity. Number two, maturity in doctrine and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number three, we're more like Christ. We're walking like Christ. Number four, our speech, our tongue is under control and is biblical. And number five, our love is growing, which that would include all of the gift of the Holy, or the fruit of the Spirit, but our focus, again, is on others. And that's number six, edification. So Paul says there in verse 15, I want you to grow up unto him in all things. When Jesus left the earth, what did he say? I want you to go in all the world baptizing and so forth. But then he said what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's a lot. There's 31,000 verses in here. That's a lot of teaching. He wants God's people to be learning God's word so that they will grow up. Why? So that they are mature enough to serve the Lord, make a difference in the lives of others, be a witness, and so forth. And then the people get saved, and then they get taught the word of God, and they grow up, and that's how the cycle works. But God wants us to grow up. We're not to stay babies. You know, that verse in 1 Peter 2:2 is not written to babies. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Like a newborn baby, he's not writing to newborn babies. He's saying, be like one when it comes to the Bible. Desire it all the time so that you may grow up and not be a baby. Like he said in Hebrews 5, that we may mature and be more like Jesus. So grow up. That's God's will for each of us, that we keep maturing in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given us all the tools we need to make it happen. Let's pray.